This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good afternoon. The Senate is still debating. I would anticipate them to be another 15 minutes, 20 minutes for them to finish their debate and to conclude business before they get up here. So for that purpose, I think we can move along with the House Retirement Laws meeting. So that being said, I would ask folks that are in here to check your cell phones, turn off the sound or turn them off, check your computers to make sure there's no sound on those. We don't like the distractions. That time, at this time, I'm going to ask the Secretary to call the roll for the House Retirement Laws Committee.
Representative Feinstein?
Here.
Hamill?
Stay here.
We're taking roll.
Kirschman?
Say my name, I'm sorry.
Oh. Kirschman?
Here.
Steele?
Excused. He'll be here.
And Rounds?
Here. We have a quorum. First off, I'd like to welcome everybody here today to the first House Retirement Laws Committee meeting of the session, and I'd also like to welcome those that may be listening via the internet. We are, like I said, we are changing our agenda or the meetings around a little bit. Since the Senate's going to be a little bit longer, we're going to take up some of the bills on the House Retirement Laws side. Today on the agenda, we have three bills, and I would like to get started with the first bill. This is House Bill number 1013. It's an act to revise certain provisions pertaining to the South Dakota Retirement System, the South Dakota Deferred Compensation Plan, and the South Dakota Special Pay Retirement Program. This time the chair would ask for proponent testimony on House Bill 1013. Proponent testimony. We do not have any pages, I see.
I think they're waiting for the Senate to do that.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Rob Wiley, Executive Director of the South Dakota Retirement System.
There we go. Again, Rob Wiley, South Dakota Retirement System Executive Director. House Bill 1013 is brought to you as a bill for clarification and to provide some enhancements and services to the members of SDRS. The bill has five sections and is designed to, I can run through those real quickly for you just to give you an idea of them and if you have any questions thereafter. Section one of the bill amends 312.70 to allow new units to enter SDRS on a quarterly basis instead of what is now semiannually. It also provides that the board does not have to give specific approval each time a new unit comes in. The board some years ago has changed their policy so that they can see those annually, and then this will just streamline and enhance that process. Section 2 comes about to clean up some information that came out of the Pension Protection Act on the federal level. That act was in 2006. The final regs of that are finally in now, and so we're making some of the corrections. All that does is it amends South Dakota Codified Law 312.76.3 to include surviving spouses and non-spouse beneficiaries as eligible to receive lump sum payouts from the retirement system. The bill also amends statute so that with the details of the rollover provisions and payouts will be made in administrative law. So each time that there isn't something come up in a change on the federal level, we won't have to always come back to you with each of these small clarification changes. We can do that in rule. The third item relates to amending 312.80, and this makes it clear that when an individual redeposits a refund back into the system, we treat them as though they have never refunded, except for the provisions of survivor, disability, and optional spouse coverages that have other limitations that they must secure before those benefits are available also. The fourth section amends 31354 and allows for in-service payouts to automatic enrollees. Under normal circumstance, you'd only be able to get a payout from the supplemental retirement plan at the time of your termination or in the case of an emergency withdrawal or for unforeseen emergencies. The new automatic enrollment program that SDRS is bringing up in July provides that if you decide in the first 90 days that you do not want to be included in the in the SRP, the supplemental retirement, you have an ability to take those dollars out right away in those first 90 days without penalty, without any problem. This makes sure that our law provides for the ability to take that payout in those initial 90 days. Section 5 amends 313A20, that's the special pay plan, and again, including surviving spouses and non-spouse beneficiaries in what would be the rollover to qualified or eligible plans. This is just like Section 2, and again, this also sets it up so that we wouldn't have to amend the statute every time there is something from the federal law that changes, but only have to amend it in rule. Those are the five sections relating to this bill. There is no actuarial cost for this. There is really all it would be is just enhancements for the members and clarifications, and also to bring us into compliance with the items that showed up in the Pension Protection Act. With that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Wiley. At first, we'll take any additional proponent testimony before we get to questions. Any additional proponents on House Bill 1013? Any further proponents? Seeing none, I will open it up to opponents. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1013? Seeing none, I will open it up to committee questions. Are there any questions of the committee? Representative Feinstein.
Mr. Chairman, a question for Mr. Wiley.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Wiley, I guess when I first looked at this bill, I understand where we're going with it. I remember some history going back in time when some of this was done. I have a question on the second page. Lines 15, 16, and 17. And I guess my question probably directly is, which employer, and maybe I'll clarify that. Let's say a person works for Department of Social Services, leaves the state, comes back 10 years later, and ends up at Department of Revenue and Regulation. Who's going to pay? The new employer, old employer? And I have a follow-up.
The only one that's going to pay it is the member. This is not for an employer pay. It's the crediting of what was employer contributions that you took out at the time of the refund. When you redeposit, you would get credit for what was paid to you in that refund. But if you left before 3 years were out, you only got 75% of the employer share. This would fully bring you back up to speed with everything, and there would be no additional payments by anyone except for the member.
Follow up?
Well, actually, it prompted a different follow-up question. I'm just concerned that the language to me it looks like an employer has to make it up and not the person. Any employer contributions forfeited shall be reinstated. I mean, you're saying that if I'm the one that left the Department of Social Services, then I have to make up that shortfall.
You have to make up
that
shortfall, but what it's saying here and what you're reading is that the employer contributions that were forfeited, that is, if you were paid out, and this goes a long ways back, if a long time ago there wasn't an employer share paid, now it is 75% of the employer share is paid out if you leave within the first 3 years of employment. If it's after that, it's all of the employer contributions. So what happens there is that the trust fund effectively credits you back those dollars that were credit that were paid by your employer, but were not paid out to you because you left before you met your vesting requirements. And so it's come the general redeposit is from the member. The reinstatement effectively is all the dollars that you paid out and now have paid back in, and then the trust fund, SDRS, credits you back in essence what you were forfeited, what you forfeited at the time of your retirement.
Do you have a follow-up?
A refund.
So I guess if I'm understanding this, is it's money that was put in by the employer has stayed in the system.
Right.
Okay, and that I think clarifies it. That stays in the system, so now it comes back at least to your benefit. Or
exactly.
Okay, thank you. That helps a lot.
Further questions of the committee on House Bill 1013?
This is truly an enhancement. And really, it's what we've been doing anyway. It's really a clarification. It's the way we've administered it. And as unclear as it sounded, it was designed to clarify that whole question and make sure that those members knew that they would get full credit for all of those dollars.
Additional questions of the committee? Seeing none, I will close it to public testimony. I'll open it up to committee comments and or action. Any comments or action on House Bill 1013?
Mr. Chair, move do pass.
We have a motion by Representative Feinstein, do pass on House Bill 1013, seconded by Representative Manny Steele. Any comments on the motion, do pass?
Mr. Chairman, I believe they've been answered, and I think he's stated it very well. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments? Seeing none. The question before the committee is do pass on House Bill 1013. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Feinstein?
Aye.
Hamill?
Aye.
Kirschman?
Aye.
Steele?
Aye.
Rounds?
Aye. House Bill 1013 will move to the floor. Do pass. Representative Feinstein, I would like you to take care of this bill and follow it through to the floor.
I'd be happy to. Thank you, sir.
I'll take care of it in our caucus. Next bill on the agenda is House Bill 1014. This is an act to revise certain restrictions on the purchase of certain credited service by members of the South Dakota Retirement System. This time, the chair will ask for a proponent testimony on House Bill 1014.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rob Whaley again, Administrator, Executive Director of the South Dakota Retirement System. House Bill 1014 is, as you have said, designed to remove restrictions on the purchase of certain credited service by members of the South Dakota Retirement System. Federal law governing SDRS allows participants in public retirement plans to purchase up to 5 years of credited service unrelated to specific work time. Current SDRS members face tighter restrictions than is required under the federal law. Prior to 2004, the board established those tighter restrictions because we provided for a discount, if you will, in how you would be able to purchase service. After 2002, we priced our purchases at actuarial costs. So at this point, there isn't any incremental costs to the plan for bringing these, what are other service credits available through federal legislation, into the SDRS benefit structure. Removing the subsidy in 2004 made the purchases of service all cost neutral. That is, what you gained in benefit was equivalent to what you had to pay in and for the purchase of that. Since the federal law does not restrict this, what is called non-qualified permissive service, but it does limit you in how much time you can purchase of that, we're bringing this into compliance with that federal law. What the bill would do, it would amend 312.88.2 and remove the restriction on the purchase of these non-qualified permissive service credits. That is those 5 years of specific or non-specific work time. And those, since they're priced at the actuarial cost now, there's no cost to the system. You pay for what you get. It would also amend 312.88.2 to prohibit purchases of non-qualified permissive service until a member has 5 years of contributory service in the system. Those are the two provisions of the federal law that are the limits here. We're complying with both of those provisions, and what this does is provides a benefit for the members of the system. We do not anticipate that it will be something that will be used regularly. We have prior to 2004, you remember, we had a very large activity time frame when people were buying up their service. Most of that service has been bought up now, and since it's all priced at actuarial costs, it's fairly expensive. So only certain circumstances do people buy that time, and we would expect this to fit into that mode too. If you're thinking of scenarios that would be examples that might be something you could grab onto, say a person left the workforce for a couple years in the middle of their career. This could be related to a change in career, or maybe even a spouse that stayed home with children for a while. They would have an opportunity through the use of this type of purchase that even though there was no specific work time, and I shouldn't use the example of a spouse staying home with kids because I know that is work, but it would be in a situation where you would be able to catch up some of those times when you may have not received credit for service and give you an opportunity to accumulate more years of credit. Of course, when you think of the Fed and you might have, why would they do something like this? Well, it's an opportunity for local plans or state plans or whatever to pick up more time that takes more pressure off of what would be other retirement plans or off of other programs that the feds might have to pay for. There's a logic that would have this type of thing be able to be picked up on the local level to enhance those benefits and bring people up to their full level of benefit. That's the two parts to 1014.
Thank you, Mr. Wiley. Any additional proponents on House Bill 1014? Are there any further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1014? Any opponents? Seeing none, I will open it up to committee questions. Are there any questions of the committee? Seeing no questions, I'll close it to public testimony, open it up to committee comments and or action. Representative Hamill.
Mr. Chairman, I would move a due pass of House Bill 1014.
We have a motion from Representative Hamill, due pass, House Bill 1014. Seconded by Representative Steele. Any comments on the due pass motion? Any comments?
Mr. Chairman, since the federal law allows this, it makes sense and was fully explained why we should allow this in South Dakota. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments? Hearing none. At this time, the motion in front of the committee is due pass on House Bill 1014. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Opponents will say no. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Feinstein?
Aye.
Hamill?
Aye.
Hirschman?
Aye.
Steele?
Aye.
Grounds?
Aye. House Bill 1014 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And I'll carry that one. Representative Feinstein, make sure this one's covered in your caucus. You can split it up between the two of you. We were scheduled to start this meeting at 4 o'clock. We are a little bit ahead of schedule because we've been waiting on the Senate to arrive so we can have the joint meeting. House Bill 1012 did have some questions on it from some individuals, and I, since we did have it posted 4 o'clock, at this time the committee is going to be in recess. We will wait 4 o'clock. If the Senate shows up, we'll immediately go into the joint and then finish the House committee after the joint meeting. If the Senate doesn't show up by 4 o'clock, we will reconvene and take up House Bill 1012. So at this time, the committee is at recess.
At county upper level. calculus, that's why I don't ask you how. I know it ends in a 10.
Thank you. Bring us into the 40%
And are we going to have to have
on our document
going to call the House Retirement Laws back into order here. The Senate will be a few more minutes, so we are going to proceed with the remaining bill. It's a little after 4, so we are at the scheduled time. We're going to proceed with the last bill on today's calendar, which is House Bill 1012. House Bill 1012 is an act to include state brand board investigators in Class B public safety membership in the South Dakota retirement system. This time, the chair would ask for proponent testimony on House Bill 1012.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rob Wiley with the South Dakota Retirement System. As you say, this is House Bill 1012, and it is about the inclusion of South Dakota Brand Board investigators in Class B public safety membership in the South Dakota Retirement System. We have in the bill made a typographical error. A word is missed, error is not missed, but a word is incorrect. I have an amendment that would fix that. It is strictly a one-word amendment, eliminating one word and adding another. We've used the word inspector in one place in this bill, and we need to add investigator instead of inspector. That's on page 2, line 1 of this bill. Would you like me to ask for that amendment now, or would you prefer to deal with that at a later spot?
We can, you can, if you've got copies of the bill or the amendment, place it up here with the secretary. And then I will allow latitude for including the proposed amendment in your testimony.
Thank you. At the request of the Brand Board, and based on longstanding criteria established by the South Dakota Retirement System Board of Trustees for inclusion in Class B public safety retirement, the SDRS staff and Board of Trustees began reviewing the duties and responsibilities of the Brand Board investigators in April of 2008. Based on the findings that the Brand Board investigators are certified law enforcement officers and have the powers and authority of any law enforcement officer within the state of South Dakota for the protection of private and public property, and that their age decreases the investigators' ability to handle the rigors of the job, and the completion of the other four categories for that criteria, it was determined by the Board of Trustees that the investigators meet the criteria for Class B public safety, and the Board of Trustees voted to support this legislation. I'm feeling a need, though, that I have to give you a little more background about Class B. Some of you are new to this committee, and I want to give a little bit of the tone of what has happened over time with this and what's transpiring here. Back in 1974, when SDRS was established, the system was established, actually, with classifications within the plan. Most of the people that were in the plan were what were considered Class A, or general employees. All the teachers, most of the state employees, most of the county employees, most of the city employees. What it amounted to is that certain of the members had a different kind of retirement system when they consolidated at the time in 74. The judiciary and the public safety group, which was primarily at that time Highway Patrol, DCI, and Municipal Police and Fire, were classified separately, had a different formula, had a different retirement age, had different contributions, and likewise for the judicial employees. So that this group of separate type employees has been in existence since the beginning of the plan. Right now, 5.7% of the membership, of the active membership, the nearly approximately 38,000, 5.7% of them, or 2,500 people, are currently Class B public safety members. As I say, when it was originally consolidated, the Highway Patrol, DCI, and Municipal Police and Firemen were the primary groups. Since that time, and shortly thereafter the consolidation, Penitentiary Correction Staff, County Sheriffs, and Deputy Sheriffs were added, both of those in 1980 or earlier. Since then, we've added a number of different groups of people to fit into the retirement system in this classification. Though we have not changed this classification very much lately, in 1999 we did add county jailers, but provided that each county must come in and actually justify those jailers joining the system. Before that, the last time, and truly the last time we've done a change like this is in 1994, when we brought in Custer State Park Rangers into the Class B system. The breakdown of the 2,500 people is approximately 800 are in municipal police and fire, 750 are in county sheriffs and deputy sheriffs and the county government, and then another 800 that are in state law enforcement, corrections, and conservation officers. And then we have a variety of other ones that make up about 100 more people that are in this classification of Class B public safety. The criteria that we talked about just a second ago for gaining this class is six primary questions. That is, the primary duty must be to preserve the safety and general of the general public and protection of human life, both private and public property. Obviously, you think of the law enforcement, you think of the firefighters, but the way we've looked at this is it's not just law enforcement, but it's that duty to the public to preserve the physical safety of individual citizens and their properties, and those duties must constitute at least 50% of the time of the duty time of the position. The age is the second criteria. That is, the age of the group must be such that that there is a reduced capacity to do your job because of your age. Plain and simply, we're not going to have for the most part, you're not going to have a policeman who's 65 years old, who's still in the business of police business. You're not going to have a firefighter up the ladder who's 65 years old. They have an earlier retirement age. It's normal retirement is age 55. And the average age of retirement is approximately that age 55. We also then, as a third criteria, that the appointing authority must be justifying, and it must be justifiable to the taxpayers. That is, the employer must agree to this and that they believe that, in fact, that the individual will not be able to, at an older age, be able to have the capacity to do the job that is currently assigned in that position. Number four of the criteria is the duties must be hazardous, stressful, and physically demanding. It's pretty straightforward. I don't qualify when I sit at my computer most every day. It must be a full-time responsibility. That is, the individual is in that business. That is their duty. And the best thing that could happen, and is the sixth criteria, is that many of the Class B jobs are actually statutorily defined, and we're looking for that in the criteria. So when we do an evaluation, we go through and literally every individual that is under consideration, we review their job description or the job description of the group, and then spend a certain amount of time, typically spend time in their office or interviewing them in some way or form, and evaluate each of those positions for these six criteria, and don't move it forward unless all six criteria are met. And that is the background on the criteria. The criteria itself was originally established in 1981, has been updated a couple times as recently even as last year in how we administer this program. And so that's the gist of what it takes from our part to be able to come back to you and say that the board has reviewed this and supports the investigators in their interest in joining Class B membership with SDRS. That's what I have, sir.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wiley. Any further proponents on House Bill 1012? Are there any additional proponents? Just a reminder, those that are testifying, make sure you do sign in at the back if you haven't already done so.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Larry Stearns. I'm the director of the South Dakota Brand Board. I'm here in support of this bill. We have currently two Brand Board investigators on our staff, and I feel these two are very highly, highly. They are should be given this opportunity to go to Class B retirement class. I'd be here to answer any questions if anybody has any.
Okay, thank you. Any additional proponents on House Bill 1012? Any further proponents? Seeing none, I will open it up to opponent testimony. Are there any opponents on House Bill 1012?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Lynn Valenti with the Bureau of Personnel. Since House Bill 1012 was filed, the Bureau of Personnel has received many contacts, concerns voiced, and questions raised about the bill. And based upon these concerns, the Bureau is here today to testify in opposition to the bill. Let me state at the outset that the Bureau is not here to testify that the Brand Board investigators do not meet the criteria for Class B public safety membership. What the Bureau is saying is that before any new group is added to the Class B public safety membership, we believe that we need to take a step back and look at this group from the big picture standpoint instead of the piecemeal approach that has been utilized for the past 15 years. And it's precisely this piecemeal approach that has gotten the Bureau here today to testify. As Mr. Wiley said, SDRS was established in 1974. And for Class B, there's two groups. There's the judicial and the public safety members or employees. And the Class B has a rule of 75 as compared to the rule of 85 with Class A, and the employer-employee contribution is different. It's 8% for public safety Class B as compared to 6% for Class A. Now, Mr. Wiley testified that since 1974, various groups have been added, and that the last addition was in 1999, and that was jailers as a broad group, but that if a specific jailer wants to come in because the duties may be so different that they have to petition the retirement board. The Bureau believes that this process, this looking at one group at a time, has resulted in piecemeal additions to the membership of the Class B public safety. And once again, let me reiterate that we're not opposed to this particular group being added, but believe that a comprehensive review of the public safety membership is needed before any additional groups, including this one, are added to that public safety membership. This comprehensive review is necessary to ensure fairness and consistency in the membership, including whether the current membership still makes sense. It's been a long time. Lots of things have changed. Technology changes, job duties change, and whether any other groups meet the criteria for admission and should therefore be included. And for these reasons, the Bureau would ask that you vote no on House Bill 1012.
Thank you, Ms. Valenti. Any further opponents? Any further opponents to House Bill 1012? Seeing none, I will allow a minute or so rebuttal, if so wanted, by the proponents. Do the proponents want any rebuttal time? Okay. This time I'm going to open it up to committee questions. Any questions of the committee for either the proponents or opponents? Representative Kirschman.
For Rob Wiley.
Yes, sir.
I just have a few groups listed that aren't in the retirement system. One is like wildland firefighters. Why aren't they being allowed to join this if we're going to do it for brand board inspectors?
At this point, we have not had a request from that group to be considered for Class B public safety.
They wouldn't go for Class B because they don't carry a firearm. They don't carry a firearm.
Right.
So this would be Class A, I think, wouldn't it?
I'm missing your question.
My question is, the wildland firefighters would like to join as a group, but they're excluded because they don't carry a firearm.
Right. And so that what you're talking about, they'd like to be in the Class B category, the Class B public safety category.
Right.
And At this point in time, I don't believe they've even made application to us for consideration for Class B. But this may be one of the groups that Bureau of Personnel is hearing from, and there are any number of different types of individuals that are in what would be law enforcement, firefighting, and any number of public safety areas that we've talked to or may not have talked to, that group the group that have contacted Bureau of Personnel, I don't know exactly who all they are, but there could be a number that may look at this and say, why not us?
Real quick question to follow up on his. How many groups will petition the Board of Trustees on an annual basis? Do you have a lot of them? Are there a number of them, one or two a year? You go some years with none?
You heard the comment that we have had the jailers come in, and the jailers, you remember, were doing it by county. We got the approval of the jailers in total, but it required also that they came in and justified it each county. So we see some of them every year, or have for the last few years, but only a couple. And then beyond that, we really haven't had very many applications. We've had discussions with a number of groups, provided the criteria to anyone who asks. And in some cases, I think maybe the criteria has been recognized as maybe they don't quite get there. But in the last 10 years, other than the jailers, we haven't had very many applications.
Yeah, Representative Kirschman, I interrupted you. Did you have a follow-up?
Well, he's kind of answered it. But I think we need a bigger, broader check on all these other groups we might want to join.
Was that a question?
No.
Okay. Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Leader. Just for Mr. Riley, just maybe I missed it earlier, but what's the total membership of Class B?
2,500 people.
Well, that was total for all of them. Okay. I wrote it down wrong then. Thank you.
Further questions of the committee? I do have a question of Ms. Valenti, if you'd like to come up. And thank you. My question deals with some of the testimony you had given, stated that it was the Bureau of Personnel's position that you're not really against the brand board members, and I do believe there's two of them, but before anybody else is added, you would like to have a comprehensive study on the Class B itself. Is that correct?
That's correct. A comprehensive review of the Class B public safety membership.
Okay. But if I heard you right, you were not here to oppose the brand board, only that before, I guess if I heard you right, you just wanted before we added or
right.
took action on this, you would like to look at that big picture.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct. The Bureau is not saying that the brand board investigators don't meet the criteria. We're just saying that we need to look at it from a big picture standpoint before any new groups are added.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions of the committee? Seeing none, I'm going to close it to public testimony. I'm going to open it up to committee discussion and or action. And if you remember, Mr. Wiley did submit an amendment. And if I can take you to it, it would be on page 2, line 1 of the printed bill. Delete the word inspectors and insert the word investigators. That was the proposed amendment that Mr. Wiley discussed. During the course of our discussion here, if you feel it so proper, I would entertain a motion to amend the bill in such a way. Representative Steele?
So moved.
You are moving that House Bill 1012 be amended on line 2, on page 2, line 1, word inspectors deleted, investigators inserted. Correct?
That's correct.
Is there a second,
Mr. Leader?
Second to that motion.
Second.
Second by Representative Hamill. Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1012 is so amended. Back to comments and or action.
I have a question. Do What happens if we don't vote this in today?
To answer your question, if we don't vote it in, they just reapply. They take it up again. At some point in time, we may see it. At some point in time, we may not. This is they made a request to the Board of Trustees of the South Dakota Retirement System to be added as Class B employees. The trustees basically went through the criteria, saw that this group, these individuals, met the criteria that is labeled there. Thus, they voted, or they recommended, that they be put under Class B. It is now up to us to decide one way or another. So we have the last say on it. It involves two members. I don't know if future they could expand to more members or not. There are some discussions, other issues relating to the brand board that we're not going to get into here. Representative Hamill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since there doesn't seem to be any dispute about the qualifications of the brand board investigators joining, I would also say, and I should have asked this question earlier, but it doesn't seem like a bad idea to review the various organizations that may or may not qualify for Class B status. And so while I wouldn't object to including the two brand board inspectors because nobody else seems to, I think the suggestion does have some merit.
Thank you. Any further comments? Any action? Representative Steele.
Later, thank you. Because of this comprehensive review, because there are other groups that we should be considered, and it's, again, it's not saying that these two are should not be considered for this in the sense that they might belong in this group, but because of the situation with more review needed, I would like to make a motion to move this bill, HB 1012, to the 41st day.
We have a motion by Representative Steele to defer House Bill 1012 to the 41st legislative day, and the second was by Representative Kirschman. Additional comments on that motion? I will comment on this. I myself will resist this motion just to the fact that as this bill does move along, number one, the two did meet the criteria. The criteria was laid out. They did meet the criteria. The request was made, and that's how the business has been done with the South Dakota retirement system. We don't know if and when we will be looking at a complete review, an overhaul of the addition to Class B. It could be done this year. It could be done 3-4 years later. My opinion on this is that they meet the criteria. They were accepted by the Board of Trustees. There are two members. For that reason, I would like to see this bill move on personally, but we will move on with the motion. Are there any other comments? Since this is final action on the bill, all those in favor of moving House Bill 1012 to the 41st legislative day will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Feinstein?
Aye.
Hamill?
Nay.
Kirschman?
Aye.
Steele?
Aye.
Rounds?
No. House Bill 1012 will be deferred to the 41st legislative day, 3-2. At that time, that concludes the agenda for the House Retirement Laws Committee. At this time, we have no other bills that I have seen, but this is the last week legislators can file legislation, so we will know probably this time or mid-next week if there's any other bills coming up, and at that point, we'll set another meeting. Any more business from the committee? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion. Motion by Representative Feinstein to adjourn, seconded by
Kirschman.
Representative Kirschman. All those in favor of adjournment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.